This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and welcome to Spring Training 2025 with the Texas Rangers. We're live in Surprise at Surprise Stadium. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, and holding it down for us back in the DFW, the more famouser Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Some of us, welcome to Surprise. How we doing?
Kevin, I'm loving it, man. Arizona is just an absolutely gorgeous place, for one. Every time we get here, being able to see this beautiful Arizona sky, mountains off in the sunset, the Surprise Stadium, it feels like home. And then walking into that clubhouse downstairs, it's a very cool feeling because it's a buzz, right? Yeah. All those guys down there, they're all excited about what's going on. They're all pumped up getting their work done. And you can just tell baseball is starting to ramp up. And, Mike, that's something for me that just – It's that feeling of baseball season that just kind of gets rolling into your veins again. I love it.
Yeah, and I think we really need this. Not that I watched the video of the Mavericks, but I think a lot of people are down on the Mavericks and what they accomplished the last 2 or 3 weeks. I get they're winning some basketball games, but the loss of Luka for the rest of our lives in Dallas. And then the Cowboys had a rough year. The Combine is happening this week, so I think that'll get some Cowboy fans excited. But
the fellas head out. They're out there Thursday. So.
Yeah, I look at it and go, this town desperately needs, one, the Stars to play well down the stretch and make a long playoff run, and then the Rangers to get back to 2023 baseball. So being here, yeah, I think Metroplex sports fans really need the Rangers to have a good year.
Kevin, what is your, like, when you come out to Arizona, because we've been out here almost every year since we got the Rangers. When you come out here, what's the thing you look forward to the most whenever you get to Surprise?
I really like seeing who emerges that is maybe not expected. Now, I know just because you emerge in spring training does not necessarily mean it's going to carry over.
That you've arrived.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't mean like Rougned Odor is tearing the cover off the ball or anything like that. I mean, like, when we saw Mark Church and all of a sudden you're like, oh, could he be in the bullpen? And like, I like seeing those players. And I know a lot of times the bullpen lends itself to like, this is probably the category that's going to be taken up. But I just think it's really cool to be like, hey, Rangers fans, here's a player that most of us probably had no idea existed like a month ago. And now all of a sudden he's going to be entrenched in your bullpen for what hopefully is an awesome season.
Yeah, Mike, I think also like around here, whenever those guys start to buzz the way they are, you can see it in the stadiums. Like people, they stop, turn around and watch. Oh, get this guy's at the plate right now, or this guy's pitching, and it gets exciting around here.
And we're here so early. Innings 5 through 9 are a lot of double A and triple A baseball.
Yeah.
So the first 3 to 5 innings approximately is major league baseball for the most part. And then the last half of the game, you get to watch kind of the prospects play. And I know that the Rangers are off to a rough start record-wise. And, you know, I've talked to Chris Young about this. He's like, look, obviously, we don't care if we win or lose in spring training, but what it shows record-wise at times is the depth of your organization. So that could be a whole nother discussion, but, you know.
So can I ask you a question about that real quick?
Yeah.
I have no doubt you're 100% right about that. Is there ever a scenario, or have you seen spring training games where, like, it's not that you're trying to win the game, but all of a sudden there is a theoretically high pressure situation, and you're like, okay, well, this is hard to replicate. We're getting it in a game. Like, let's see how it goes.
I think you get first and third, one out, down by a run. Sebastian Wall caught up to the plate in the ninth inning against a really good double-A or triple-A pitcher that they think this year or next year is going to contribute to their organization at a major league level. You like seeing that. Now,
yes.
You're not going to say if Walcott gets a hit, we're moving him up the board and maybe he'll take Ezekiel Duran's spot. Like, that's, you're not going to go that far.
Yeah,
but yeah, you're going to just, it's a mental note to say, hey, he handled that situation well. Or you get Sebastian Walcott first pitch swings at a breaking ball in the dirt. And then he swings at another breaking ball on a 1-1 count just off the plate out of the zone. And then the pitcher throws 97 letter high and he swings and chases. And you make that note. All right, hey, he's just 18 years old. He swung at three balls, three swings and misses in that situation. Not that we're going to harp on that situation, but we understand right now he might get too excited in this moment and expand his zone. So you do want to see things like that. We talked to Rocker, which you'll hear later, on just kind of his presence on the mound and his calmness on the mound. So you're watching for things like that and seeing their body language. The results matter, but you're kind of also watching the body languages and how they're handling the situations. If it looks like it's too much for them, or it looks like, hey, maybe the result wasn't there, but I really like the approach. I like the attitude I saw there. I like the body language.
This is a different note in out of something you just said, and I know, Kevin, we had some stuff to get to, but it's baseball, baby. I'm excited. When you say expand the zone, how often is expanding the zone guessing, and how often is it intentional? Like, sometimes guys expand it because of this count. Sometimes they expand it because they're like, I'm gonna do that now, but two at-bats later, I'm going to make these guys think.
You're not going to give yourself an intentional out,
okay,
if that's where you're going.
So that's usually excitement.
But the counts obviously matter. I mean, I think where you're getting at is like a 2-0 count. I'm looking for a specific location. I might be looking for not only a specific location, but a specific pitch. Now, if you're Corey Seager, it doesn't matter if he throws at 83-mile-an-hour slider or 95-mile-an-hour fastball. If it's in the location he's looking 2-0, he's taking a rip at it. But maybe a different person, I'm just bringing up Josh Smith for an example, maybe he's looking for fastball down and in on this 2-0 count. And if it's a breaking ball down and in, he'll just let it go, even though it's a strike. Because he's like, no, I was looking for 96. Once I saw spin, I gave up on the pitch because I was only looking fastball. But you get to 0-2 or you have a 1-2 count, you have to expand the zone. Now, I don't like this thinking. There has been a mentality for the last 10 years, and I do think it's going away. And it was all based on analytics and people who had never touched a baseball or a baseball bat in their life. They're like, who cares if it's strike three? If it's not your pitch, just let it go.
Oh, interesting.
That was that.
Foul it off and get another pitch that could be yours.
Right. You're like, no, we have to have a two-strike approach. Like, we're just going to, if he makes his pitch, we're just going to walk back to the dugout. Well, if he makes his pitch,
they want
point,
home runs on strike.
Right.
Okay,
they're just like, we would rather you get off your best swing all the time. And if you can't on down and away get off your best swing, just let it go and hope the umpire calls it a ball. And I thought that was a horrible approach. And I do think that is being pushed out. I think over the last 2 to 3 years, approximately, baseball is getting back to the middle. It used to be analytics are stupid. Let's take about 2005 to 2010. And then right around 2011, 2012, it starts shifting. And then it goes too extreme where they're like, anybody who has a baseball brain is a moron. We only look at charts. And now over, that was about a 5 to 7 year period in baseball. And now we're back to where I think it's a middle. Hey, these analytic things are good and we need these things. But having approach from a dude from Stanford, let's say, not Malcolm Stanford, Moore, the player, but somebody from Stanford who got a great degree in mathematics, is saying you should never swing at a pitch that you don't think you can hit hard. Well, too bad. I'm 0-2. I have to expand my zone, and I have to try to foul that pitch off. I have to put it in play. If I put it in play, maybe it finds a hole. Maybe a guy makes a mistake. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. But if I don't swing at a strike, and I know it's a strike, and I have two strikes, I just quit. Like, to me, that's quitting. And they're actually telling players at one point in this game a few years ago, just quit your at-bat. And that's insane to me. So I know I took it in a different direction, but the expansion and retraction of zone from a hitter's standpoint is based off of the count. But you don't want to swing at balls that you can't hit just to maybe get a different pitch. You might – Edgar Martinez would do this a lot. I know Carl Everett would do this every once in a while, and there's plenty of guys. I'm just naming examples of people I face. Deal with it, Lasher Z.
Man, you really do remember this. Yeah.
He would take a pitch, or they would take a pitch, and they would like buckle their knees. Well, I'm reading body language on the mound, and so is my catcher. So, hey, if he looked that bad, or they would swing over the top of it, and their finish would look like horse manure. And so you're like, well, throw that pitch again. You know, I watch high school kids, and I'm like, you guys can't be this stupid, can you? But they're just high school kids. They like, you got to read the swing. This is read the swing. If they look like they were on the pitch and had a great swing, maybe that's not the pitch to repeat. But if they look like horse manure, they're probably going to look like horse manure on the pitch again. And so they would do that, and then you throw the same pitch, and then they would stay back, time it up, and put the ball in play hard. And so – but that's unusual. There's not a lot of guys that can intentionally look bad on a pitch, but they wouldn't do it with two strikes. Does that make sense?
Yep,
they absolutely. They would do it where, like, all right, if he throws that pitch again in this at-bat, I'm going to get him on that one. Wade Boggs would. I think we talked to Wade Boggs
about
that
did.
One time.
Yes,
that and killing lions.
Did. Yes, we did.
I'm sorry, what?
And elephants.
Do you not remember us kind of recapping that story? It was one of the most amazing stories I've ever heard about how he killed a hippo that had killed a whole bunch of people in this village. And then when they finally killed the hippo, like Wade Boggs and some other people like displayed the hippo, and all the people across the river that were part of this group were like cheering because that hippo had killed a bunch of their kids. It was a wild story.
Now I do remember that. Thanks,
yeah,
Kevin.
Look, if you didn't remember it after that, I would be like, well, you've never heard this story before, because I will not forget that. Now, Mike, I am curious, because Corey talked about how we've been coming here for like 10 years, give or take. But like, this has been most of your life, going to spring training for one reason or another. And I know not always here.
Right.
But what kind of vibes, what kind of feelings do you get just knowing like it's time to go back to spring training?
Well, there's something in my DNA that when I get on the road and I'm driving and it's a decent drive, like we drove to Austin this weekend to see my daughter, it feels like I'm going to spring training on those drives.
Okay.
Because that's like the start of like, all right, we're going to take a road trip / get to Florida or Arizona. So there's something in my DNA right around February-ish that feels like, okay, your job's, you know, back at stake. This is now your time to challenge yourself and see if you can beat out some guys that people think are better than you. Keep your job from the young guys that are trying to take your job. And, you know, they're your teammates. So that's always the interesting part here, is you're happy to see your team and the guys that you know. You're getting to meet the guys that are new guys on the team. And if you're a new guy, you're trying to get to know as many guys on the team to become friends with your new teammates. Yet there are certain guys that you're friends with that you're trying to, this is going to sound extreme, destroy their life.
Sure.
Because you're trying to take their livelihood from them so you can have the life you want.
That should be our interview questions. Who in this clubhouse right now
do you want to destroy?
Is your nemesis? Who's
and they're
nemesis?
Like, no, I love everybody. And no, I get that. But like, which faux friend do you really wish like struggles in spring training?
He's ahead of you.
Like,
Leody
and
right
Evan
now.
Carter are battling for center field, but they are good friends.
Yeah.
But and one of them is going to be a fourth outfielder.
Is it? Do you have that? I don't know if you want to talk about this or not, Mike. And if not, we can just move on. Do you have that feeling again this year? I know you're not, you don't need to take out anybody for your broadcasting job. But you know what I mean in terms of like proving yourself all over again? Because if people have missed it, if you haven't been catching up with the show, that's why you got to turn on and leave it on. Mike, this is your last week on our show, like for good, and you're going to take over as the one of the primary broadcasters for the Texas Rangers. So do you kind of have that like prove it vibe all over again?
Yes. And I don't know this. Like, David Murphy is going to do approximately 50 games. I'll do approximately 100 games. And then Elvis is joining. Elvis Andrus is joining for some pre and post games.
Which you can hear right here on the Fan.
Yeah. And those guys had great careers, right? Elvis played, I'm going to guess, 14 years in the major leagues approximately. And David Murphy had a great career. And they could come to spring training and they, at times, for a lot of their major league spring trainings, didn't have to fight for their job. They just had to get ready for their job.
Right.
For me, I was always, I was always a loser. In the end, I would always get called into the office and say, you know, they wouldn't say it this harsh, but you've lost your job. You weren't good enough to keep this job. You weren't good enough to steal this job from somebody else. So I have a mental part of me that's always like, I'm going to lose what I have. That's ingrained in me through baseball. It's not good. I'm not telling you it's good. I'm going to lose what I have because I was always a loser at the highest level. And so now that I'm back at the highest level of Major League Baseball broadcasting, yes, there is a part of me that goes, there's so many people after me for this job. They're probably better than me. How do I hold them off? Like, this is just, you know, internal talk of like, all right, how do I keep this job? How do I make sure that the Rangers and whether it's other major league teams or a national broadcast goes, he's good enough to give him another shot, or he's good enough to keep? Because my whole life has been getting called into the office and saying you're not good enough.
But if you think about it from a TV broadcast perspective, I'm going to try to hype you up just a little bit. You are the hot shot prospect. Think about it. A couple of years ago, they were like, hey, do you want to give this a shot? And you're like, yeah, okay, that could be fun.
Yeah.
And then they were like, you know what? You did such a good job. What if we give you like a third of the games on the schedule? And you're like, oh, okay, I'll give it a shot. And then that went so well, they were like, what if we went ahead and gave you a little bit more than two-thirds of the games? And then so, like, you're just moving up.
Thank you.
Well, you know, don't give up 12 runs in an inning. You're going to be all right.
And that's the great thing is I can't be as bad as I was as a pitcher.
See, yeah.
I just think
that's
to
the
myself.
Spirit? I don't know.
But they were like, you know, when we knew that you could do this, they had me do a mock two-game broadcast.
Okay.
I was doing pre and post, and this was, I think it was at the new stadium, but it was like 21 maybe. I just thought they were doing it because they said they were setting up different things and seeing if they could broadcast in a different way from like the TV truck mm-hmm. and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, no problem. I'll do it. And they're like, that's when we knew you could do this. And I was like, I didn't even know I was trying out. I was just like having fun, like talking about baseball and doing a broadcast that was going out to absolutely nobody. And they're like, yeah, we wanted to see if you could possibly do this. And I had no clue that that's what they were actually possibly seeing if I could do or not.
He was talking about all the different colors of rain. Everybody was
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you definitely better work that into a broadcast on TV at some point this season. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Surprise Stadium in Surprise, Arizona for Texas Rangers spring training. Coming up next, the top cliches and punishments of MLB spring training. That and maybe some abs next on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 2-0 pitch is hit high and deep out into left field. Wallner going back on this at the wall. He leaps. Can't get it. The ball is over the wall. Wallner's glove is over the wall. The Twins' lead is gone. It's 4-4 thanks to Adolis Garcia.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the fan. We're live at spring training courtesy of ASCO Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960. Also want to thank the on-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing. You got that same-day service guaranteed. I wish I would have used them the last go-around. I've learned my lesson. And, of course, Best Buy windows and siding. Look for those confessionals, and we'll go from there. All right, so I had something that Wolchek shared with me that I thought this was a really interesting article. It was the top cliches of spring training. And I wanted to run some of these by and then maybe talk about some of these spring training like hijinks or punishments that perhaps players get into as well. Do you guys want to start with the cliches?
Yeah, let's do cliches.
All right.
Like I'm in the best shape of my life,
yeah,
kind of stuff.
Yes. But for a player or a manager, I don't want to leave anybody out. Because you'll start listing specific people, and then you get nervous because you might have listed too many specific people, and then you're like, but I just left these other people.
There's
out,
so many people, especially for managers, too. They definitely have to think about that. You ask them about, hey, who's the player that's this, right? You ask them that, and the first thing they do is, well, I mean, Boach will be like, all of them are good at this, this, this. So that is a definite cliche for sure because they know. Teammates are sensitive. Baseball players are really sensitive, Mike. I've always felt that. Baseball players are more sensitive than others.
Is that because you think Mike is sensitive?
Well, I guess we did see Diggs run out to a media member after a post game. So I guess everybody's kind of sensitive sometimes.
That's true.
I mean, I don't know if you're right or not. I don't know if you're wrong or not. Is it because we play 162 so you're like, I'm sick
out
of this crap.
You've interviewed me 80 times this year.
But yeah, no, that's, I think that is a definite cliche we hear, and you'll probably hear it a couple times this week from from people in the that come up here and talk to us. We actually, think we may have either heard it from Walcott already.
Okay,
too.
Okay. Well, then we're about to go two for two because I think we talked with Walcott and Rocker about that this morning. My expectations for myself are higher than anybody else's.
Of course they are.
But that's the way it should be, right?
Yes. Once you know what you're supposed to do. Because the expectation that's set for you is set by somebody in the organization. They're the ones that are telling you, we need you to be here. And so you're trying to figure, your expectation is about your work to get to that point. So their expectation might be low, but you might look at it as a very far distance to get to because you have a lot of work to do. But if you just look at it and say, every day I'm going to put something in that gets me to that point, then you'll meet those expectations. But I do think a lot of us individuals do look at it as, man, we got to take over the whole world in 3 hours. And if we don't, then we're done for. I said done for.
Do you agree with this, Mike? And I know you got to, not you, but players got to say it. We don't pay attention to projections. Because what I always think is, we don't agree with projections, but I've heard them or I've seen them or something.
It is. It's one of those things where you try to, I know as A.J. Brown read that book or at least read part of the book where people saw where he was really concentrating on trying to stay in the moment
yeah.
and just worry about the moment and not overall stats or how many maybe targets he has in a game, whatever it is, you know, that he's mentally trying to make sure that he stays in the moment. But I would say that it is very important to try to concentrate on just that day. And you have short-term goals, you have long-term goals, but we all do this. I mean, I gave Josh Young a card today that I pulled in 1999. And
he seemed pumped.
It was an Alex Rodriguez card, and it was numbered out of 100. Alex Rodriguez was his favorite player growing up, and it was numbered 37 out of 100. And it was called Fortune 15 was the name of, like, the insert.
Okay, yeah.
So I told him, I said, and I'm giving you this card because 37 and 100, 37 homers this year, 100 RBIs.
I mean,
your fortune.
If that happens, I feel like this team's going to be really good.
How about that?
But you do.
You try not to, and that's the tough part about early in the year. If you ask any hitter, and when they come up to the plate, and you're a week into the season, and you're batting 0-41,
yeah,
like you're trying not to look at the scoreboard because it is tough. I will say, when you're batting 417 after the first two series, you're kind of like, yeah, that's awesome. You have confidence because you're hitting the ball well. You're getting on base a lot. It's the opposite, though, that messes with you more than the short. Because all you got to do is go 0 for 4, then tomorrow you're batting 286. You know, and
right.
If you go 4 for 4 in that eighth game, now you went from 041 to 240. So it just isn't fun to look up there. I think we've talked to Murph about it.
Yes. Because
he had one of those years where
yes, we did.
Started off really slow. And it's just not fun to look at the scoreboard and see a bad batting average.
So I've got a list here, Corey, but there are also people who have questions.
About cliches?
Yeah, from the 214. Let the game come to me. What the hell does that mean?
Okay, sometimes, and I believe this, sometimes you go out of your way and do something out of character that that would put you in a bad position. And like maybe you try to make a diving play that you know you can't make that diving play. I can't dive head first. But then you do it and you screw it up. Instead of letting the game come to you, doing things that you know you're good at, and then things kind of come in and look good for you. I think that's a lot of times, Kevin, like you start to press things. It happens with men and women, right? You're trying to pick up a girl and you overdo it instead of letting the game come to you.
Oh.
So that's what the letting the game come to you means.
Just getting my work in. Is that, I feel like that's, hey, what are you going to be doing out there today? Just getting my work in. Like,
yeah.
Because does it feel,
I mean, you could answer it more sarcastically and say, well, guess what? I'm doing baseball today. We're going to do some hitting. We're going to do some throwing. We're going to do some fielding. Or just getting my work in covers it all. Like, there's nothing special going to happen today. I'm going to go swing a baseball bat.
I feel like you're going to get that from a lot of veteran players.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm just getting my work in because they know what their work for this part of the season is.
Look, I appreciate that because if you're like a 10-year veteran, I could see how your answer would be like, hey, guess what? I've done this a lot. I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm not doing anything revolutionary today, so your question is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm much more appreciative if they're like, just getting my work
in. Actually, I kind of would like the other answer.
Oh,
Because, yeah. I mean, just think about that. It sounds fun. It's different. You
that
know?
Is.
It's not cliche.
That is true.
I'm going to throw. I'm going to field.
I'm glad I don't have to face him.
Oh.
Now, this feels like a go-to.
I very rarely hear that.
Because you're always talking about somebody on your team,
there's
right?
There's a
you're
lot
like,
of machismo
oh, so
that you, that people... Like, when we asked Dane Dunning about his lineup last year, he was like, I mean, I could take any of them. And yeah. I was like, I love that mentality. But there's obviously a few guys that you're like, good God, this guy can crush.
I agree.
Okay.
Like Juan Soto.
It's... Yeah, man. First... Was it... Not the yeah. first pitch, but first at bat, right? Yeah. That he smoked it.
And it is a lot easier to hit in Arizona than Florida.
Why is that?
Well, I would humidity? Say there's less gravity here. Have you noticed that you can dunk here?
Mm-hmm. Did,
and you
what?
In,
did
Dallas?
You say that there's less gravity in Arizona than
yeah.
Florida?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That because doesn't feel
I think
right.
there is.
Because there's less plants.
The ball carries
there's
more.
Drier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's drier. It's not as humid as it is in Dallas.
So, like, when Juan Soto hit that ball, if it was here, I would have said, it's still good.
Yeah.
But when it's in Florida, I'm like, he hit that through heavier gravity.
But you gotta admit, though, Kevin, that there are a handful of players, maybe 1% of the players in Major League Baseball, that either are pitchers or hitters, that they do. They relish the chance to embarrass the guy that's on the mound or the guy at the plate.
I
and
agree.
They can't wait to
okay,
face that guy.
I agree, but now that's the question I'm going to ask the next player that
I
see.
Is there less gravity
here? Do you think there's less gravity in Arizona? And you know what at least one of them is going to say? I don't know. I've only had spring training in Arizona. At least yeah. one person
what
is going to say
one of them says,
that.
Does gravity really exist? Now, does that really screw things up?
If you say gravity doesn't exist, then... We have to move on because we are on the ground right now. I was thinking about that the other day.
Why you were you that? Thinking about that?
Because I was thinking of the word tang came up, and I was like, oh, that's the astronaut's orange juice.
What else is it?
Tang?
Mm-hmm.
It's a powdery orange drink.
It's a movie, Pootie Tang.
And so I was thinking, how many times do astronauts spill their drink?
And do you think they float around and like drink it up?
I don't
little
know.
Drops, and you have to go pick up each drop with your mouth. You got to hope it doesn't get into the computers, though. You're
do you have to drink upside down?
I think
probably at some point
or sideways. Who knows?
Because man. Of the gravity.
Yeah. What brought this up?
I was because the
oh,
word tang.
Otherwise,
happened.
It won't go up into your stomach. It won't go down.
Yeah,
because that goes up.
Yeah, it'll go into your brain yeah. if you drink
that
it.
Is not.
It won't go down your throat.
That is not
this
the
makes
way.
Sense.
I think it does because there's no gravity. How is the juice? How's the tang gonna get down your throat if you're in if you're an astronaut and there's no gravity? You have to turn on the gravity button.
Yeah,
so you think if there's no gravity and you swallow a drink, it might float up into your brain?
Yeah, and go out of your nose or out your ears.
If you're an astronaut, text in and let us yeah. know if you have to drink upside down. And it looks like Ruben has done some research for
okay.
us.
Okay. AI overview. No, astronauts don't drink water upside down in space. They use a zero-G cup or an in-suit drink bag
okay.
to drink water in space.
What does AI know? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. So they're saying they're inserting it from the lower part?
Yeah.
So it gets into the stomach?
Mm-hmm. Just goes directly
no.
into the blood.
How is that what you took from that?
That's what it sounded like. He said something about some G-bag or something.
They're on from 2 to 7.
Yeah, they are. And then... It's spring training for everybody.
Really,
I think Kevin's
really
already done.
Veered away from the
it's two freaking segments, man. I'm already counting out in my head. I was like, "All right, we got 60 segments to do this weekend."
Would you want to, like, if they could turn the gravity off in this, in this little nook we're in?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's close the window first.
Did you forget the name, the word room?
Press box.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Would you want that?
No.
You don't want to feel what it's like. I kind of want to feel what it's like to not
but
have
what
gravity.
If, okay, fine. Let's think this through to completion.
I said close the window.
Okay, but what if you forgot, and then you floated out of there, and then you get up to the thing where all the bees are, and if they don't sting you to death, then where what the if you floated out from over the overhang, and then you flew away into
well,
outer space?
Obviously, that would be bad.
Okay.
Because as soon as they turn the gravity on, we're in deep trouble.
Uh-huh. Because then you'll...
Yeah, I just want to feel what it's like to not be in gravity.
From the 214, favorite cliche, you win some, you lose some.
Wait, do you like that better than it's spring training for everyone? Because I feel like...
Nobody's worried about winning some or
yeah.
losing some
yeah,
in spring training. They're only worried about winning their
okay.
bats.
Cliche, gravity gets me down.
I want...
get it?
No.
It's a cliche because it always holds you down.
That's true. Corey, I think it would be really fun if Mike, I want us all, let's all interview the same person and just have three completely different interviews where Mike's talking about gravity. Corey is like, hey, huge win last night, huh? You guys really took it to them. And like, y'all are just having completely different interviews and you're both together.
We start that with Boach. We'll get see how far he goes before he's like, guys, what are we doing?
Just don't start with Chris Young. Okay. I don't think he's going to tolerate your ridiculousness.
Yep, he's very serious.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on one. Why are so many people?
It's a good thing for him to be serious. He's the GM of the Rangers. Yes. So we need a serious person there.
Look, if somebody told me he woke up at 3 a.m. to fix the team, I would believe that.
Me too.
Coming up next,
you think he's going to trade Corey Seager for Sandy Koufax?
At least you picked somebody who's
good question. How do you go number two without gravity?
Oh, my God.
Because it would just float up, right? And then
I think you do it while laying down.
Oh, that makes sense.
You just got to be accurate.
How does that make sense?
You lay on your stomach and then the toilet's above you.
Yeah. The water's going to stay in the toilet if it's upside down.
Let's go look up space station.
There's no gravity.
All right, Kevin. Hey, man, we need to go.
We'll
look up this
here.
Information for you, all right?
Please don't. Coming up next.
You just don't want to pee while you're on your stomach.
Yeah, that's a...
Trap it.
Well, this is interesting.
It's time for baseball / I don't know, astronaut nuggets with Mike Bassett.
I got nothing prepared. Let's see what happens.
Dear God. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassick.
The fifth to last Baseball Nuggets ever.
Are you going to do the countdown every day this week?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your deal? Like, what's wrong with
that?
Hey. Corey, why is he ruining it?
Mike, now I was actually going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
On Thursday, can you say it's the penultimate?
No, baseball second nuggets. To last. Nobody knows what that word means.
I mean, they could probably figure it out by the inference.
Well, the Rangers signed a 36-year-old, Kevin Pillar, which is going to be interesting because the last series of the year was in L.A., and I was like, well, this is Kevin Pillar's last game in Major League Baseball.
And it was going to be.
Yeah, he had said last year, I don't know at what point during the season, but Kevin Pillar said this was going to be his last year, and obviously, it still could be. He's in spring training now with the Texas Rangers, but he said, you know, I have the right to change my mind. So he's decided to play baseball again this year. As far as we know, he's in spring training here with Texas and going to, I guess, fight for a job. Let me just give you his numbers real quick last year. With the White Sox and the Angels, he hit .229 with a .667 OPS. He's not much of an offensive player anymore, but he still can go get it in center field.
Okay, let me ask you this then. This is Kevin and perhaps Corey's theory. I don't know. I think you're with me on this. Do you think this facilitates him as the backup center fielder, so then perhaps you could move off of some money with Leody, or am I just reading way too much into that?
I think this gives them the option now.
Okay.
I don't think they want to put Wyatt Langford in center field for 50 games this year,
right,
or 40 games and then play him in left field the other part. I think they want to – I know this sounds weird, and I don't know how to compare it to football, which I know everybody cares about. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just trying to – going from left field to center field, I know this is not as extreme. It's like going from offensive tackle to offensive center.
Okay.
Where you're like, wait, now I have to snap the ball. And, like, the center fielder is the leader of the outfield defense. Now, I know now they have cards and there's actually dots out there that they can kind of go to. So
what?
Yeah.
Dots?
So, yeah.
Out in the outfield?
Yes. Now, they got in trouble. They said you can't do this, but not just the Rangers, but other teams were putting tees, different colored tees, like a red tee into the ground so it wouldn't mess with the field, and then the red tee was here, the white tee was here, the blue tee was here.
That is
and they're like,
wild.
Hey, we're not going to allow you to do this. But if you're ever up where we used to do the pre and post game show from, or if you're in left field and you're high enough, you can see a dot on the field, and that's like your straight up dot. Like, go to this dot, and then from there, work off of your defensive card, and you'll move five steps over and five steps back for this hitter. Move three steps forward and three steps to your left for this hitter. So they work off of that dot. So it's easier. So the center fielder doesn't have to move guys. It used to be the center fielder, you were kind of, let's say, on a chain or on a rope. And so if you moved to shade oppo, you wanted to make sure your right fielder could move a little bit closer to the line. Let's say if it was a right-handed hitter and you wanted to make sure your left fielder started covering a little bit more of the left center gap, because you're leaving that gap a little bit more open, shading into the right center gap. So it's a little bit different now, but the Rangers don't want to. It doesn't mean they won't, but they don't want. Injuries can dictate a lot of different things. They don't want to move Wyatt Lankford to center field for some games and then move him to left field. They just think it's easier on his development as an outfielder, one. And then to
because
not
he
put
still
more pressure
doesn't have a
him.
Lot of outfield experience in general. Sorry to jump in there, Mike.
He's played 3 years of outfield in his life.
Yeah, that's not a lot, and you're at the major league level.
So this is his fourth year of playing outfield pretty much in his life, and so they want him. He got better and better as the season went along in left field. And so they're like, let's just make him a left fielder the rest of his career for the most part, unless injuries dictate something different.
You know, and Boach does have a history of being able to use the right defensive outfielder. Jankowski wasn't a big bat by any means.
Right. But this he is was our a, Jankowski. But that's
he
a
had,
good call.
Yeah, he had lots of range in the outfield, which is a good thing.
But somebody asked about Jankowski, I don't know, a week or so ago, is on social media. I'm like, there's no spot for him.
Yeah.
You only have four bench players.
And well, he's signed elsewhere now.
You have Higgy, who's a backup catcher. You have to have a backup catcher. You have, let's just say, Leote for now. If Evan Carter's your starting center fielder, Leote's your fourth outfielder. And then you have Josh Smith and Ezekiel Duran that can do a lot of different things. They obviously would be more of an infield replacement, but they both can go into the outfield, usually in left field, and give your guys time off. But Ezekiel Duran has a very strong arm. He can transition to right field if you need him for a few games and stuff like that. So you don't really have any more spots on the team. But then you sign Kevin Pillar, and then this goes to Kevin. What we were talking about yesterday is, okay, this does give the Rangers more of an option if somebody is interested in Leote in spring training, because injuries are going to happen, lack of production from a young guy that you thought might be ready for you is going to happen, and Pillar does make more sense when you give Evan Carter days off that he's a right-handed hitter. I haven't looked at his splits in the last few years, but this does make sense. It doesn't mean Leote is going to be in the minor leagues. The thing is, if you don't trade Leote and you come out of spring training healthy, Kevin Pillar probably got out in his contract. That on March 25th, if
I'm sure,
make
as
team,
we've seen,
he can go somewhere else if somebody needs a backup, outfielder. And Pillar was great in the outfield for most of his career. He was a Gold Glove. It's interesting. He never won a Gold Glove. I would have thought he won
last
a Gold Glove.
Last year he was 310 against lefties and 173 against righties.
Well, that's great, though, because that would be the time he's playing is against lefties at 310. What was his slugging or his OPS?
I'm sorry, his OPS 2 years ago against lefties was 733. He had 250 that year.
Not bad, though. I mean, if we're talking about Evan Carter.
Year, you'd be sitting him theoretically against lefties, so you'd want somebody who can hit lefties. Yeah. And
last year was 852. Tavares has value because he is a switch hitting outfielder, and that is a valuable thing for teams that, as Mike was just pointing out, in spring training an injury pops up and now all of a sudden you're looking at lists. If everybody knows he might be available for the right thing, he has value.
See, no, he absolutely has value, and I think that's like the good thing and the bad thing, right? Is you have maybe too much value to just be sitting there as a backup might be the case, where other teams are like, well, hell, we could use that. And we're like, hey, well, we still need X, Y, or Z.
Now, the other thing, too, is if I have his career right here, he has not played in the minor league since 2014.
Pillar. Okay.
So would he – this is the thing that you have to kind of think about. Is there any way you can convince him – let's just say you didn't trade Leote. You know injuries are going to happen. Yeah. Is there any way to convince him to go to Round Rock for 1 month?
Well, that depends almost entirely on his agent going out there and gauging other interests.
The agent would go out and look and see if there's no place else. But then, you know, if you're – I can't imagine this. This would not be good for the Rangers. If Evan Carter got off to a bad start, let's just not put injury out there. He got off to a bad start. He does have options.
Yeah.
So you could go, Evan, hey, as great as you were in 23 and what we thought you were going to be in 24, and we know it was primarily based off of injury, but last year he didn't get a lot of at-bats. If Evan, after 1 month, is batting 188 again, you could go, let's send him down to AAA. He's only 22 years old, and let him play center field every day for at least a month. And now Leody's your everyday center fielder, and Pilar is your backup outfielder, slash if you needed a pinch runner for Jock Peterson in the eighth inning because he got on base,
sure.
Pilar can come in and be a pinch runner in that situation.
Yeah, he can fly for sure, yeah.
So
I like the addition.
I like it, and I like him as the fourth outfielder. Leody Taveras is better. I want to make this clear.
Yeah.
Leody Taveras is a better player than Kevin Pillar. But if you can get Leody, and this sounds weird, off of your books at 4.25 or 4.75, and it gives you a little bit more breathing room to add something at the trade deadline or add something on your team at the end of spring training, I understand how that can make sense.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I do want to dive back into a couple of these spring training shenanigans.
Like gravity. Really,
yeah, not like gravity. But also, we're going to puck around and find out. Robertson scores three, the Stars win two, and Four Nations is number one next right here on The Fan.